Now it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's not what it's going to be specifically about this morning. It's the springboard for what we're doing in these last number of sermons that I've been preaching is preparing the church for change. And I want to continue that today. And we're going to just read again a truth that we have the privilege to embrace to the very core of our being. From the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter one, verse 1, we read these words, and we're going to go through it. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under the heaven. 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. There's a time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. That starts out as in the heavens under this earth, there is everything has a time. And we're talking about the time of change for grace, community fellowship. And we've been looking at what are the characteristics that we can embrace as a congregation that we can make the changes God has for us, both as a church, but also individually in our lives and the things we face. Because every day, there's things that we face that we do not know is coming. And there are things that we realize have to be different than what they were, for whatever reasons. We are people of change, and that is a fact of what life is about. Life is an experience of changes. And the longer that you live, you will see that truth, how real that is, more and more and more and more. We looked at Abram and saw some things he knew of God and his experience and how we can apply those things to our lives. And we looked at Moses, and we want to look at another one today. I've picked a person that you probably, maybe some of you know if you're old enough. It would be the least character in the whole book of the Bible. He only has 2 verses. Nobody knows where he comes from. Nobody knows other than what he was praying. And nobody knows what happened to him. 2 simple verses. And this man that we're going to look at has an interesting name. His name is Jabez, and I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I read verse 9 and 10, and I want to preface this morning with something. A number of years ago, there was a well-known Christian teacher, leader in the country that took a hold of this prayer, and he wrote a book about it, and his premise was this: if you pray this prayer every day, your life will be different. And that's not what I'm here to preach about. We're going to try to glean from this prayer of Jabez the truth of what was there. This man, 2 verses of scripture, a book written about him, sold 9 million copies in 2 years. And I'm not here proposing that that's what you do in your life, that you're to pray that prayer of Jabez. But I'm proposing that in here is the truth of what you and I can hold on to in these simple little verses about life and about how we look at God and the things God is facing us. So I'd like you to turn, and we'll see the application of these principles in the New Testament too. So we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I'm going to read starting at verse, or I read these 2 verses, and then we'll come back. Jabez. Now, when you look at this, if you read all before there, and I wasn't going to bore you to death, but if you read chapter 3 and the rest of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. There's a lot of names. And you can even go back into chapter 2. And it goes on, son and son and son. And nothing is said about any of them except they're the son of this, the son of that, etc., etc., etc. And then all of a sudden, in verse 8, it says, Coz fathered Anud, Zebul, and the clans of Arhal, the son of Haram, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. His mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. That's it. And he goes from history, and there is never again read about. In the list of all the heritages and generations, is God brings this one man to the forefront about this man's life. And when it starts out, there's about four or five principles here that we can glean. And my belief is that if we hold these truths together in our hearts, truth about this prayer, and then also as a congregation, we will not need to be fearful of change. We can adapt change. We can move forward with God, and we can experience a very positive life with God as we walk with him through it all. Now, Jabez, it says, was more honorable than his brothers. More honorable. More honorable. Deserving of respect. High regard. Characterized by integrity. Guided by a keen sense of duty and ethical conduct. More honorable. He turns his complete attention to God. This honorable man. And the mother calls him Jabez and says why he got that name. But it says then in verse 10 that Jabez called upon the God of Israel. He turns his complete attention totally on God. And it says he calls out. And when you look at this word calls, this means, you know, this is more dynamic than texting, more dynamic than emails, but it's something of an emotional outcry that he brings to God. He turns his complete focus on God and he cries out to him. And it's like, I saw this, and getting God's attention, I saw, you ever watch the press conferences that you see the president and other people have, and all the press is out there, and in a moment when he stops, they raise their hands, Mr. President, and then you always hear some, Mr. President, somebody louder than anybody else, and he points to that person, and it goes on like that. The person that calls loudest appears to be the one picked. That's the kind of background is here for us to understand, that he calls out to God. He is doing something here in the midst of all of these generations. Here is this man, honorable, it says, a man of integrity, a man devoted, a man of all the wonderful things that deserve to be called honored and guided by a keen sense of ethical conduct and duty. That's honorable. And he turns his total focus on God. This is the key to all of changes. This is the key to Ecclesiastes and all that it's about. This is a key for us. We sang about it. We looked at it in our men's class this morning. That God is where we turn our total attention to in every and all things. That's number one. You're honorable not because of your great works. You and I are honorable because of what Christ did for us on the cross. He prepared you and me to be with Father in a relationship so that we can talk to God, we can respond to God, we can call out to God with the heart of knowing he's there waiting and listening to us. And in that place of waiting and listening to us, we can have peace because of knowing what Christ did for us. It's not your good behavior that gives you the privilege to call out to God. God wants good behavior. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. That's clear. But it's not that that makes you communicating with him. He wants you to call out to him because his son paid the price for you and him to have a relationship. He calls to God. When you call someone, you're calling a person. You do this all the time, every day, all different kinds of places. But it has to do with the relationship. It has to do with the connection. He's connecting himself to God as the basis of what he's going to pray. So the first thing is, he's an honorable man. That says about him. But it also tells us here that he calls upon God. He called out for God. He called out to God. And then it says, now it comes interesting. Oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. That can be totally misunderstood in the context of Scripture. The blessing is a word used in the Old Testament. It has nothing to do with how much you get, how much you have, whether you get a lot of stuff, whether you don't get a lot of stuff, whether you're rich. No matter, that's not what this is about. This is about supernatural favor. Supernatural favor. What he's doing is he's calling out to God, and you and I can call out to God, and we can ask God for his supernatural favor in our lives. And that supernatural favor comes because of Jesus and because of Christ. And that we can ask for this favor and watch what God does. In Ephesians chapter 3, and let's just turn there quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask and think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. He that is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or think. Notice what he said, bless me. He didn't give him a specific. He just said, Lord, bless me, God. Give me your spiritual favor. And in giving me your spiritual favor, there's some other things that are going to come from this. So he knows where he turns his attention. He knows how he is to relate to God. And he knows what he can ask God for. A God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. Think of all the situations you may have to deal with right now in your life. Whatever it is. Whatever you're asking of him, he can do exceedingly more than what you're asking. That's why in this verse, there's a simple little truth that I've learned to get a hold of in my life, and that is, if I turn my attention to him and I ask him for that favor, and he brings that favor to me, which he does because of Christ in my life, and turning to him, he will show me his blessing. His blessing. His supernatural favor will work in my life somehow, some way, in different ways, in different means and unexpected. Even when we're going and facing hard times, the Bible tells us that when we face fire and we face water, what does it say? You could say God will be with you. That's true. But the verse says something more. When you walk through the fire, when you walk through the waters, what's it say? He will be with you. His favor is what it's all about. His presence in your life, his connection to you, that's the favor. He is with us. God is with us totally and completely through Christ. Lord, he said, Lord God, bless me. And then he goes on to say, and enlarge my border. And enlarge my border. What is he referring to? He's referring to a fact of, let my life be enlarged into more and more and more of life. Make my territory larger. This isn't about real estate. It's about influence, responsibility, opportunity to be used by God. To be used by God. What he's saying is, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my sphere of influence where I'm at. Look, don't think of yourself in just He's trying to say something. Don't think of yourself just as some little person here and wherever you're at and wherever you live and you're doing whatever it is. This seems so small. Who am I in all of this? That's not what he's saying. He's crying out, says, Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me greater influence than I've ever had before. Now, we're told how that happens. Notice he says, you give me. In Zechariah, the fourth chapter, we read these verses in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let's just keep that back there. That's where we're going to keep it. By my spirit. When you and I can come to understand and accept something, that the power of the Holy Spirit is within us, and the Holy Spirit is a relationship with God and Christ, that's you and me, and the life we live and the strength we deal with facing, going through whatever it is, experiencing what God is doing with our lives, and which we can call blessing. His presence is a blessing. His very connection to you and what he's doing with you day by day. But it's by the Spirit. Remember what we've learned. We go out there into this world. What's enlarged your territory? Your sphere of influence. You're walking down. You're doing something. You're in a parking lot. You're at a grocery store. You're in the bank. Wherever you might be. You might be at work. Somebody says something, and the Holy Spirit leads you right then at that moment. Right there it is. There it is. And you hear the Holy Spirit say, respond. That's the Holy Spirit that's led you there. It's his power that's brought you there. Why in a parking lot where you parked here and somebody way across the other side starts walking toward you that you don't even know? And then asks a question. What am I going to do? You stand there and say, first of all, you realize God's got something here. God's got something. You will hear this week, I'm sure, at least one person tell you that they're facing a hard time in their life, sickness, some kind of a disease. And I would challenge you that when you hear that, that is God's bringing a blessing for you to be able to say to that person, could I be praying for you? I have yet to have one person say no. Even, yes, please, pray for me. Yes. That's enlarging your territory. It's not your neighborhood just where there's three or four houses, or the family that you might meet with, or some friends that you might party with, or things that you do like that. It's the world that is our territory. Enlarge my sphere of influence, God. Enlarge it. Let me influence people. That's what he's saying. Enlarge my territory. It has nothing to do with bigger houses, more land, and all that sort of thing. It has to do with the influence in this world. He says, oh, Lord God, I call upon you. I honor you. I give you myself. And I ask you to bless me. Bring your favor upon me. And that in that place of favor, enlarge my border. And that your hand might be with me. That your hand would be with me. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. How do we deal with change? How do we deal with a life that's getting a hold of this prayer, not just saying the prayer every day? You could pray this every day if you'd like to. That's up to you. But get what it says. Embrace those truths in your life. He's turned to God. He's called out to God. Everything within him cries to God. He asks God to bless him and to bring his favor. And he says, enlarge my border, meaning get out of yourself. This isn't about you. It's about God enlarging your border and your influence of where you're at. Be prepared. He's going to give you situations that you might say, well, I don't see many people in a week. That doesn't matter. When you do see him, he may enlarge your influence at that moment of time, completely and totally. And just be ready. Your sphere of influence. That your hand might be with me. We can't do any of this without God's power in our lives. None of it. We can try. We can do things that may look like God's doing wonderful things. I had a young man say to me this week that the church he goes to, they're going to have their very first service in their congregation in a new building that they've built. And he's excited about that. And he says, and people, this is what he's saying, and people keep coming. And we conversed about the situation, and he only saw the numbers bringing him happiness instead of what influence is having on those people. And in that place, the question is, what influence can we bring to people? Now, I know that place, and I know that the influence is God. They preach the word and teach the word. But the key is this. Your influence on people is not just to be, oh, he's a wonderful person, a good guy to work with, but that they experience you as a believer in the midst of life with them. You will be amazed, totally amazed, that if you let God do this in your life and you call out to God and you realize, I need to call to him for this. I want him to do this. Lord, do this for me. Do this in me. I need your blessing. I need your spiritual, your supernatural favor in my life to do my day. And I need beyond that to be able to be a person that understands that it's not by my strength that I do this, but by my spirit, by your spirit in me. And then he says, keep me from harm and not give me pain. Now that one raises me a question. Keep me from harm and pain. And I know that I've been through pain in my life. I know many of you here were listening to that. Wait, so if we call out to God, can we say this to him? Keep me from harm and from pain that it causes? That it might not bring me pain? That meaning keeping me from harm that would maybe bring me pain? The desire to be in a place with God that you're safe is what this is about. Yes, it meant physical pain here. And you and I know full well that we don't go through life never experiencing pain. But we can know that God is going to keep us safe in the midst of what we face. He will keep us safe and secure. And in that place of safety and security, he will help us deal with what's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, and we want to look at that. To just reinforce this, that these principles are connected totally to the New Testament, not just some Old Testament guy. Indeed, Paul says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he who will deliver us, and he will deliver us again. We'll stop there. All these agains and delivering. The point is this, he delivered me there, he's delivering me now, and he's going to keep delivering me. This is a positive attitude about your relationship to God. This is a positive vision for the future in your life, for what's coming. I was told by somebody, a certain thing if I considered being in a relationship to God and do, I will find blessing. And it's been amazing. It has happened over and over and over in these last 10 years. Of that. The key is this. Jabez was pulled out of the Old Testament as a picture for two verses, not necessarily to write 9 million books and sell, but to be a man that says something, that there are people in this world that God works in and pulls out and gives special attention to. And this man, unknown to where he comes, unknown what he ever will do, and unknown about what he ever does, and that's it. He gets two verses of the Bible. I guess that's pretty amazing if you get two verses. But the thing is in that place, this man showed us something. The qualities that we can carry in our personal life. The truths. Not just say the words, but the truth of what it's about. You say, well, is that okay to ask God to keep me from harm? What did Jesus say? Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Asking him to deliver us, to protect us, to take care of us. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us. Deliver us. That's ours. And as a church, what is our future at Grace? What is it? What is your future? If you grasp the truth of this verse, these two verses, and this man's witness and testimony, and then it says at the end, and God granted his prayer. It just doesn't leave it up in the air. God granted him this. We have no idea what that meant for the rest of his life. None. But he granted it. This church has a destiny. And we can look forward to this congregation looking like Jabez did. Enlarge our territory. Bless us, Lord, with your favor. Enlarge the territory. Look forward to this stuff. And don't be just satisfied with coasting along. Oh, this is pretty nice. We have some nice things. We're doing okay. We got enough money. We have some good leaders. We have good worship people. We have singers. We have talent all over the place. You know, let's just keep just going along in a straight road. God says, no, that's not what I want from you. I want you to think like this. I want you to think that, God, enlarge our territory. Enlarge it. Enlarge our sphere of influence in this community in a practical way that is real. Look for that in your life. That's what Jabez was doing. Lord, I want to be an influence out there. I want to understand your spiritual favor. And you'll be amazed at what he does. This down in the mouth, moping around. Oh, this is a really hard time. You know, they're all true and real. And they're powerfully difficult to deal with. But the question is, what are you going to bring to that moment? What are you going to bring to your day when you wake up and when you walk with God? What are you going to bring to that situation that you see? And I know you all so well enough that you had faced hard, hard issues in your lives. Hard. But your hearts have turned to God and you've trusted him. And things have unfolded in ways that you never expected to unfold. And the fullness of God is greater in your life now than when these things were starting. Because of two things. One, you called out to him. Do that in your life. Two, ask him, Lord, bless me. Give me your spiritual favor when I'm out here in this world from the moment I wake up. And in that favor that you give me, it's not for me to get all good feelings about, but to affect the world that's out there. To affect the world. To affect the people you know. And I guarantee you, God is going to give you opportunities that you are amazed at going to happen. Not just wow factors for a moment, but they're going to be longevity things. Ministry that you get involved in with people that you're surprised you're even doing. All kinds of things. Let him do it. That's what he's saying. Lord, you do it. Not me. You do it. You do it, God. Not me. When my life started to turn and I went through the crisis that I went through and I gave myself and the Lord was working deeply in me, he told me one thing. Now, if you knew me before this, you knew I was a guy that was always pushy, pressing forward, and wanting to do this and do that and do this and start this idea and that idea. And Cindy could amen that 50,000 times. But when this happened in my life and I began to turn and walk with God in the way of redemption and what he was doing, he said something to me one time and he said this, don't you open any doors. I'll open it. And when I open it, you better walk through it. I heard that. I know that. And I think Cindy can attest to the fact that she has seen me in these last 18, 20 years, that is something I've held on to deeply and carefully. I've had a couple slips where I tried to do it, and he said, what'd I tell you? Didn't work, did it? No, sorry. I'm learning, you know, learn this, grasp this today. Hey, look, all you need to do is read two verses of scripture. That's not hard. That's not long. And remember this dude's name, Jabez. He'll never forget his name. Anybody with a name like that, you're not going to forget, and I don't forget. His influence was real, and yours is real too, no matter who you are. Do not put yourself down. Do not in any ways think that this congregation cannot be more and more and more influential in this world. When you doubt that, just think of the pastor that's coming. God would call a man 3,000 miles away to a little congregation in the midst of who knows where? That in itself testifies. When I tell people this, they go, what? What, really? And then I kind of add the better part on it. It says the 50-some applications. What? Did those elders write it right? What did they say? You know, that's a testimony of this congregation. Not to make us proud, but to understand God is doing something here. And he's got more and more favor to give. And he has more blessing to give. And he wants this church to spread its sphere of influence. Will that be bigger buildings and all that? I have no idea what that all means. But if we're doing what we're understanding, God's going to show us those things. He told us to tear down the walls. Hold on to this. Yes, I am going through grief. This is not simple and easy. I may make it look like, oh, this is great and wonderful. It's an easy ride. It's not an easy ride. I experienced grief from leaving and from what all these years have meant. And so does Cindy, and I have my days when I'm doing that and experiencing it. But the thing is this, the joy in my heart, the hope that's there is for what is ahead for this church. And I've been one part of it. And you're all going to continue to be a great part of it and experience it. God's hand. Start to think of it. A congregation. Lord, bless this church. We cry out to you. You are our source. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us ask you to enlarge our territory and watch the blessings that are going to come and experience them. And then it's going to happen. And what did God say? And the Bible says, and God answered his request. That's it. Nothing but positive for our day-to-day life. Nothing but joy. The peace of God rules in our hearts. That whatever we're facing, we can hold on to these truths. Not by your power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. Walk with him. Father, I thank you so very, very much for simple truth. Things that we maybe have all been part of our lives and that we just need to have refreshment. But we also realize that, Lord, you're bringing change into this congregation. A change that I pray we can embrace. And as we embrace it with the positive attitude that this is what we're experiencing is part of an experience like Jabez prayed. That we haven't been praying that prayer, but we've been holding on to the principles. And as we hold on to these principles, Lord, we look forward with anticipation and excitement to what's ahead. I have no idea, Lord, what's ahead. Only you do. But we can be looking forward with excitement and enthusiasm. And when you do it, we can say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for this retirement process that is going so well. Thank you for the new person that's coming, the pastor and his wife and children that you're providing to come. Thank you, Lord, for the house that you're going to give. When Lowell said, the real estate market isn't very active right now, but I was sitting there thinking, well, God knows, all he needs is one house. That's all he needs to provide, one place. And he will. He wouldn't bring him 3,000 miles to have him sit in the sidewalk. But Lord, you didn't do that. You bring him. And you'll continue to show wonderful things. We know, Lord, that he is not perfect. We know, Lord, that he is a man of flesh and a man that loves you and a man that walks with you, a man that's all the skills that he has. But the truth of the matter is he has a heart for you, God, and that he will lead this congregation and this congregation will lead forward looking to that which will be better and more influential than it's ever been. Lord, you be glorified. That we want to glorify you In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 James, do you have a song to close with? Oh, that was the closing one that I preempted. I'm sorry. Let's do it again. Let's stand. I started us off since I'm up here with the mic. Let's all stand.